Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. Joining me today from Washington, D.C. is Laura Ellis. Laura is Senior Counsel at the Office of Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services. She'll be talking with us today about the Compliance Effectiveness Guidance. Laura, first of all, thanks for taking time out of your day to talk to us.
I'm happy to do so.
So let's start by just, if you can, describe for everybody exactly what is the Compliance Program Effectiveness Guide?
We see it as a toolkit, something that has questions that can be used by compliance officers or auditors to assess how well various components of the compliance program are functioning. We wanted to come up with something that organizations could use themselves to assess compliance program's effectiveness and where it might need to be enhanced or strengthened.
So why did the OIG decide to put this guide together? I mean, it's obviously, it's a great idea for a tool, and the feedback we've all gotten on it so far has been great. But what led to its creation?
Well, we had been thinking about evaluating compliance effectiveness for some time. We had gotten questions from Congress about how we know when something is effective. We spoke to Roy Snell about hosting a joint HCCA-OIG roundtable on evaluating compliance effectiveness, and he suggested that we should create a guide as a product of the roundtable. And we thought this was a great idea to share the results of the roundtable with the compliance community, and so that's how we came up with it.
Yeah, I have to say it was really a fun exercise. I was, as you know, there that day, and listening to the amount of ideas generated in the room was incredible. So how was it created specifically? What were some of the mechanics involved?
So you and I were both there at the roundtable. We had, I think, 24 compliance professionals and OIG staff, maybe a few more, and we, at our tables, went through each element of the seven elements and brainstormed questions that people considered important to evaluate various components within the guide, within the elements. And then OIG and HCCA worked together to edit it, take out repetitive questions and things like that, and organize it in the format that was published last year on our webpage and HCCA's webpage.
Yeah, no, and it was, it was really, I think, robust conversations and a nice output. So can you talk to people, give them a good overview of how the guide was structured?
So the guide is structured into the seven elements of a compliance program. And within each of the seven elements, we have broken it down into components using HCCA's guide to compliance professionals. And then we slotted questions in under each component. And that's what it looks like when you open it up.
Yeah, which I think is good because it gives people an opportunity to sort of, look at things the way we tend to think about compliance programs in terms of those elements and see how we can measure progress against it. Now, there's some confusion out there because people were curious. This came out at the same time the DOJ came out with its evaluation of corporate compliance programs. How would you say these two guides compare with each other?
So each department came out with the guides separately, their guides separately and independently. We didn't talk to one another about them. I think that DOJ's guide evaluation was written with a different purpose. It's designed to help its own prosecutors evaluate an entity's corporate compliance program during or at the conclusion of an investigation to help DOJ decide if an investigation is substantiated, what they want to do with the company, whether they want to bring charges, what kind of agreement to negotiate, that sort of thing. So DOJ's guide document is geared towards large organizations. But I think, as with the guide, compliance officers at organizations of any size can find useful information that can inform their own compliance risk assessment. I think it is an invaluable tool also for large or mid-sized organizations that have uncovered misconduct or that are presented with evidence of misconduct by the government. The guide, our guide, on the other hand, is intended to be a tool for evaluating the effectiveness of a compliance program on a normal basis, something that we think should be done on a regular basis, not just in times of crisis.
Yeah, which I think is, you know, really meets the mandate of ongoing monitoring, auditing, evaluating of the program. So that's the key way for the guides to be used, is for people to check on an ongoing basis. Any other ways you think people should be thinking about using this guide?
Well, the guide was intended to be something that is fluid and useful for people at any kind of organization, regardless of whether they're providers, suppliers, manufacturers, or plans. And the toolkit is an intentional metaphor. Sometimes you need a hammer, sometimes you need a saw or a screwdriver. Different questions might be useful for different organizations, depending on their size and where they are in the spectrum, and also what they're intending to look at. We did not intend and don't think it's useful for people to go through and answer all the questions. First of all, not everything is going to be relevant for every entity. And secondly, I think it can be overwhelming for a entity to undergo a wholesale evaluation of its compliance program on a regular basis, and the amount of information and work that might generate could distract from doing the actual work of compliance. It's better, I think, on a regular basis to take a bite or to look at something within your compliance program that an entity might be interested in looking at, rather than the whole thing.
Yeah, and you make a good point that, you know, this was absolutely not intended to create, you know, analysis paralysis, where people were so busy looking at every single thing in there that there's really no time to manage the program. It's really designed to be an ongoing tool. I think there were discussions that, you know, just even if you pick one thing from to look at each year, you're starting to make some good progress there. Are there any other ways that you think people can use this tool, and other ways actually not to use this tool?
So I think it's important for people to be creative in looking at this tool and to think about it in ways other than just by the element. I mean, yes, you can use it by element there, but there are some more other creative ways you can use it. For example, one way I recommend is that people consider a theme or a topic that they're interested in assessing and select questions that will help them assess that part of their organization's compliance program. So some themes that various compliance officers might be interested in are prevention. How good is my compliance program at prevention or detection or response? They might look at culture, retaliation, oversight, or independence. And these are just a few themes that I thought of. I'm sure that compliance officers can think of many more.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, you make a good point is, you know, if you're looking at it just by the elements approach, you sort of limit your scope of viewing, and instead thinking about what are your challenges within your program and what are areas that really I need to focus on that I think are weakness, and see if you can pull out questions from various parts of the document to be able to identify how to deal with them better. Any final words on, you know, things that would be really bad ideas in terms of using this document, you know, ways it's not intended to be used?
Sure. So it's not intended to be a checklist or a standard or a guarantee. If you answer all these questions right, or all the questions that seem applicable to you right, everything is fine with your compliance program and you can just, you know, rest easy and motor ahead. Also, I think it's important to distinguish between assessing compliance program effectiveness as opposed to conducting a compliance risk assessment of the organization, which is something that OIG has been emphasizing recently in the past couple of years, and that is also important for organizations to undertake on a regular basis.
Great. Okay, so finally, one last question. Where's the best place for people to find this on your website?
So if you go on our website and you go to our new compliance resources portal, then it is the first thing that shows up under toolkits. which is at the top of the list on the Compliance Resources Portal. And our webpage is oig.hhs.gov.
That's great and very helpful. And, you know, it was great that Inspector General Levinson shared with us about that great new innovation that you guys have developed there with that portal through a podcast we did with him. And he talked about it at the annual meeting this year. Well, thank you so much today, Laura, for taking time to share the insights into how that document can be used. And I think, you know, it's a great tool for compliance people to have, and I think it's really proven its use already out in the field. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this podcast today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.